Hello, Screeters. I think that I am seeing a trend. It's hot everywhere. What is up with that? The people who don't believe in global warming, what do they think it is? The people who do, just that, I mean, are they all saying, I told you so? Or are they saying, hey, we really got to change something? I think it's important that we don't have as many cars driving around and way more electric cars, but I don't know if they're capable of doing what we need them to do yet. I find myself focused in different places, which kind of has me torn around. One of my buddies says you can't do anything well if you're focused on too many things. And some people are better at that than others. I don't know where I fit in. I'm usually decent at whatever it is that I choose to do, and if I'm not, then I focus and put myself into a position where I can either become adept at what it is I'm trying to do, or just plain old stop doing it. Right now, my focus is golf. Last year, I got back into paintball, hyper-focused into that, and I was playing golf on the side for fun, mostly. It's still fun. It makes me wonder, Che on Role Play Rescue in his GM journals is talking a lot about play and doing things as play. Now, it's a little deep for me, the conversation is. I think it's important, and I'm glad he's having it. But it's a little deep conversation for me because I don't know what I do as play necessarily. I mean, I play quite a bit of poker. I've been playing quite a bit of golf. I like playing D&D, but am I really at play when I'm doing those things, or am I my mind actually involved in other engagements or trying to get better at one or wondering how I'd run something if I was running as opposed to playing? I don't know. What I do know is today is Thursday, July 21st, 2022. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screen.
Hey, Jason, it's Rich. So, I think it is not the GM's job to motivate the players. I agree with that. I think maybe in the beginning there to have a good hook for the players, but what the characters want out of life, that's nothing that the GM should be sharing. And then the other thing, I don't remember what it was you were talking about, but I agree with it wholeheartedly. Talk to you later.
There's Rich from Cockatrice Nuggets once again agreeing with me wholeheartedly. Thanks, buddy. I much appreciate that. As far as it's not up to the GM to share it, it's not up to the GM to dictate it by any means. But different people are looking for different things. That we know. What those things always are and how we can get to those places, we don't know necessarily. That's the fun of it. And here we are with the segment, The Other Screed, Jason Connerly, coming at you live.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason. Sorry for the long delay before the call. I should have called you earlier on your July 8th show. Blindness is minus 4 in AD&D as far as I can tell. As far as non-combat sessions go, you know, I've been in non-combat sessions or they've been exciting and fun and kept me entertained and engaged, and I've been in them that have been boring. So I just think it depends on the GM and the group dynamics. I think if... I mean, it sounds like that's going to pick up. It's just knocking out some admin stuff ahead of time, and the question is, should have been done outside of the game sessions or during the sessions? But, and again, that's a group dynamic thing. You guys have to figure out. I think ideally it would be handled at a game, especially if it's hours worth or you know, huge chunks. But like you say, it's hard to do. Yeah, I mean, a document that people might not read, put it out in audio form that they might not listen to, spend many hours making a video that they might not watch, or sit them down and just talk to them, you know? I don't know. ideally, we get knocked out before a campaign. You post it in your Discord or, you know, your Facebook group or whatever you're using to form the group. And, you know, if the people don't read it, then it's going to be a detriment to their character if they don't know, right? You verbally cover the high points, and then you move on with the game, I guess. But, yeah, it's kind of a tough situation, definitely. And a non, there's a difference between a session without combat and a session that's all info dump. You know, if you're interacting with NPCs, doing stuff like that, then that can be really interesting with no combat. If it's just the DM talking the whole time, then that can be boring. Exciting question. Whose job is to motivate the player? It's character. Haha, player character. It's the player's job to motivate the player character, not the GM. Now, the GM's building the world, and the GM's throwing up the obstacles and things like that, but ultimately the player has to decide what motivates their character, and the player has to decide what their character's goals are and what they're going to do. And that's all player-created. The GM can answer questions and kind of help and maybe provide a little guidance if the player's lost, but ultimately, it's up to the player to figure out what motivates and pushes their character and, you know, what makes them tick, you know? So that's 100% on the player. And I'm going to leave you one more last message on the idea of that, well, that question of, well, we got this player that min-maxed their character and now we're going to punish the party. Yeah, that's a bunch of horse pocky too.
Yeah, there's a lot of catch-22s in running and playing games. This idea of the information and getting it to the players so they can actually play with intelligent and knowledgeable characters. You know, that's one of the cool things about IPs, using an IP like Aired from Castles and Crusades or Trollord Games. And they have novels out about the setting, but I'm pretty sure there's a few people that are playing in this game that have never read any of it. I've tried to read some here and there, but it feels like fan fiction. It's okay. Really cool concepts and ideas where it almost is like, hey, what happens in Mordor when Sauron is killed? Like, is there a land grab? Is there, like, people who go in and try and, you know, use this new land for themselves? Probably not. That might be a bad example because in the Third Age, you know, man was so diminished and plague had hit them and all these things that had happened that there weren't a whole lot of men in Middle Earth. But the idea still stands. It's like the vacuum that's created when the big bad evil guy is destroyed. A nearby kingdom maybe sends in a crusade to try and, you know, help out after, as soon as someone is powerful enough to do so, send in some adventurers or quote-unquote crusader knights to help and set up some, you know, points of light of civilization. It's a super cool idea, but how fun? How fun is it? It's the perfect place to, you know, build up your keep on the borderlands that becomes something further, something more, because there's a questions asked, you know, if the realm beyond before that we all came from is so civilized, why is this border still here and what happens? It's like, it's just like a new frontier that's opened up and there's remaining baddies and some goodies that you're trying to unite. I don't know. I am really fascinated by the idea. I become enamored of it. And I hope the game doesn't fall apart, but we haven't played in 2 weeks. So I don't know. Let's hear what else Jason has to say about bull cocky.
So this idea of challenging the party and punishing the party because somebody min-maxed a character or something like that, I'm with you 100%. That's just... Now, I'm not saying there aren't GMs that do this. So... Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying a person has never played in a game where it's happened, because it is. But with GM skill, as the GM develops, they're going to learn not to do this. You shouldn't look at your player character's sheets and decide, well, this person's weak here, so I'm going to throw that kind of monster against them. And this person has this weakness, so I'm going to throw that kind of monster against them. You know what I mean? Now, at some point, you might do that if those weaknesses come out in session, in the game, and... enemy of the players sees that in the game, so they know about that weakness in the game, then that makes sense for that enemy to throw certain things against the players. But the GM shouldn't be doing that. And that's the difference, and Taylor over at Clarissa Ringmail has talked about this. It's the difference between GMing adversarially and GMing as the adversary. So if you're doing adversarially, then you're using your GM knowledge to punish the players. If you're playing as the adversary, you're using the NPC's knowledge to actively go against the players. So if the NPC doesn't have the whole story, then they may have flawed battle plans because the players have counters. And that's okay. That is 100% cool. But if the NPCs have the players' weaknesses or know, you know, things they can use against the players to their advantage, then, and the GM does that and plays the NPC smartly, you're not doing anything wrong as the GM. That's, you know what I mean? You're supposed to be providing challenges. And you also nailed it on the head, reference, you know, there are tons of ways to go after characters. In almost any of these games, there's a huge monster manual or bestiary or whatever you want to call it. There's always a ton of monsters. So use them. Mix them up. Don't always throw bugbears against your players. Don't always throw evil human brigands against the players. You know, it's not always lizard men or serpent men. It's mix it up. There's so many different monsters with so many different crazy attacks, and especially like AD&D, right? You've got all kinds of stuff. You got monsters that attack psychically. You have all kinds of stuff. So there's no reason you can't challenge players. Just because they have somehow a -5 AC doesn't mean they can't be hit. There are tons of monsters that ignore AC when they attack, you know? So mix up your monsters, and you're going to automatically, you know, negate some of the player's stuff, but not intentionally. So I might have cut myself off a little bit there at the end there, but I think you get my point. If you're just naturally mixing up the monsters, throwing a variety of things against the players, ignore the squeaking ball in the background, that's my dog. If you're naturally mixing up the monsters, then you're going to come up against their various weaknesses naturally. And there's no need to try to be an evil adversarial DM. But you always want to play adversarially and play your NPCs smartly against the players to give them a challenge. And that's about all I have to say about that. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
So there we have Jason Connerly from Nerds RPG Variety Cast, engaging in some wisdom drawn from Taylor of Clerics Wear Ringmail. You ever wonder why clerics wear ringmail? I never asked.
In half a mile, keep left to stay on DeKalb West Road.
You'd think someone would have asked him that by now, but it hasn't been me. But, you know, I can't disagree. It's very similar to what I said previously, this concept of there's so many things involved. I kind of wonder if that changes when you're playing a different type of system, like a different genre. Like if we're playing, you know, superheroes, I think it's pretty common that you actually weaknesses are a stronger aspect of that game in the superhero genre. But I also don't think everyone knows, you know, that Superman is weakest against
keep
magic.
Keep left to stay on DeKalb West Road.
Or Kryptonite or whatever.
It's continue only some for people half a mile
that are aware of that. Regardless, excellent call-ins. I hope you guys enjoyed this segment of The Other Screed. Go listen to Jason's podcast. Go listen to Taylor's podcast. Go listen to Jerry's podcast, Cockatrice Nuggets.
In a quarter mile, merge onto I-88 East.
I've heard that the mysterious Cody M, Cody Mazza, is doing his podcast again. No Save for You. And he and TJ Drennan are running games together or some such madness, I say, madness. Hopefully, I'll be able to weigh in on how that is soon. I'm starting to kind of shift into some sort of manageable schedule with this work thing, and I've been listening to some other podcasts.
Continue on I-88 East for 25 miles.
In fact, the rest of this conversation is going to probably ramble and circle about something that I listened to on the GM Journal. All right, see you in a bit.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
What do we think about Dan Proctor's announcement in the Labyrinth Lord / Goblinoid Games Facebook group? He seems quite sorry to inform everyone that things are changing, but we don't know what. The Goblinoid Games website is going away. Did he sell the thing? Is he, quote unquote, shuttering it? I don't know. I hope not. I think Labyrinth Lord is actually gaining some ground again, because people are interested in 1A D&D, and that's a pretty good... Advanced Labyrinth Lord is a pretty good version of that game. It's a little... Maybe a little... It's kind of dry to me, Labyrinth Lord, but it's not as dry as Osric. The last few times that I've played AD&D, people wanted to use the specialization and such from later versions of AD&D, and I don't know how much I liked specialization in AD&D. I don't know that Unearthed Arcana was the greatest. I would be interested in trying a rules as written AD&D campaign using the core rule books. I'd be down with that. It makes me think when I hear people talk about editions, and even I do it, I say, oh, BX is my favorite. Guess what? I didn't really play BX back in the day. When I first started playing when I was 8 years old, I was certainly at the mercy or at the governance of whoever was playing, running the game, my cousin Hawk or Terry or Todd or whoever was running at the time. I mean, I was 8 years old. What did I know about any of it, really? But I knew I loved it. But, you know, we went from Holmes to... I don't really remember Basic, because BX didn't come out until, what, 81? But I do remember, like, the Monster Manual coming out in 79 from AD&D, and then, like, the Player's Handbook and trying to draw the Paladin in Hell from the back page of that book a lot as a kid. I remember the DMG being mostly used as experience points. I remember deities and demigods just mostly as the first art house book. Right? You know what I feel about art house. These are books that we read, but we don't do anything with. What else were you really supposed to do with deities and demigods? I mean, I studied that thing. I learned a lot about theology, different religions, different characters. Like, I mean, that was my first impression of Lieber's work. I don't know, guys. It's just an interesting thought process for me. But if someone wanted to run that, I would try it. I would like to see what happens. I'm also interested in actually playing up until using, you know, some of the domain rules and seeing what that's like, because it's not something I ever did. I'd also think it would be cool to have one group that's just playing a regular game and then having another group that's actually the leaders of different domains and what they would choose to do each other. Like, you know, I've heard of the BroSR do on Twitter, but what would it be like sitting around a table if you had different groups, or online where you have the option of a lot of different players? A large player base, maybe. I don't know. I'd like to see. But this has nothing to do with what I really wanted to talk about. But hopefully maybe someone will have some comments or ideas or thoughts on that. And we'll move on to the main topic. As previously mentioned, I was listening to GM's Journal. I don't know what with Shay Webster. He's about to start his next season of Roleplay Rescue. Everyone should go check that out if you haven't already. I'd be surprised if there's anyone who listens to this who doesn't listen to that. But I don't know. People are their own selves, hopefully. And Che mentioned a particular thing in a game he played, which was Warhammer Fantasy Role-Playing 4th Edition with Derek and himself and two other players, one of them being Evil Jeff, I believe, where there was a scene in this adventure path or whatever it is they're playing through that their main guy has to fight. They were challenged to a quote-unquote duel. Now, this is one of the carousing things that I have on a couple of carousing tables for Kalmata. And, I mean, I think it's a trope of the genre where, you know, you pit your champions against each other. Now, the question is, what do the other player characters do? What do the players do? Other players who aren't involved. In the past, I've done a few different things. More often than not, a double cross or, like, the guy has more people and they all attack. Or even a double cross where a whole different group attacks and creates something. But to me, wouldn't it be wonderful or fantastic or effing stupendous if there were actually social combat mechanics where those other characters could be doing something? That's what usually happens, is they're goading or whatever. And I've even done stuff where, like, hey, if you have a good insult, which could be you come up with yourself, or like an opposed charisma roll, then that could help affect the fight with the champs by giving them some bonuses or what have you. But here's my other thought. Why not deter, you know, the other people verbally, browbeat them into submission or whatever? These are cool things that you could do before any combat. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you could use combat social mechanics. And why don't we have some that fit into the OSR better than the One Ring or Burning Wheel? Why don't those exist? Why hasn't someone really came up with some sort of effort to do that? I mean, you could transport that straight into a Western game, like before the actual leather gets slapped. You know, it was one of the things that I had talked about at length with the Hoff when we were considering adding it to Black Powder Black Magic or White Hats Black Hats. And it's something I would like to do anyway, where, I mean, a lot of times that social or that indominating will that you're trying to overcome the other person with before even moving to violence, because in more than just fantasy OSR role-playing games, violence is a failure. It is a failure state. Because all violence really does is beget other violence. So, that's my question. Why don't we have social mechanics for social interplay that can thereby also affect other mechanics of the game? So, I mean, I would prefer it not to be its own minigame, but, I mean, reaction roll already is, right? How often do we roll 2d6 in anything but damage in BX or... in BX, right, where the reaction roll is probably most known. When else do we roll 2DX other than the reaction roll? Maybe. So obviously the game loves mini games and parts that are not even attached to the rest of the system. What would it be? I'm not even sure I like 2D6 inside the game BX, because even a +1 modifier creates such a discrepancy in success versus failure. But that's why usually success was pretty hard to achieve with the reaction roll, especially if you're talking about reacting with NPCs, because they don't really agree except on a 9 or higher. So what are the chances of getting a 9 or higher? I don't even know. Somebody who can do some statistics. We should call up Hawk and find out what he thinks. So I would prefer it was a 3d6, or it would have been wrapped up into a d20 charisma check or something somehow, which is how I do it when I run low fantasy gaming, in the 4 conflict resolution outcomes of low fantasy gaming versus BX or D&D, where it's only implied or has only been learned to do things other than fail or succeed. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? What else could you do with the bystanders of the classic genre duel? I don't know. What I do know is it's time for the Dulcet Tones of TJ Drennan. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks so much for the other Jason and Jerry for calling in today. Until next time, it's better to burn out than to fade away.
Get lost in a gutter, baby.
Lost in a gutter, baby.